9 weeks to go before Ironman Cork hits the town of Youghal, and I'm delighted to say John Ennis has kindly popped into us to give us an update on the latest ongoings. And John, thanks very much for popping into us.
Thanks, Per. Thanks for having me again.
No problem at all, John. And it is very much a busy time at the moment. You've plenty of meetings ongoing between yourselves and Ironman. And we've got a big meeting coming up next Wednesday evening.
We have, yeah. We've been trying to get around to this one for a while. We had to defer there a few weeks back because one of the key performers wasn't going to be available at the last minute. So we had to defer, but we're gladly getting around to it this week now coming. It's for the businesses. It's for the local businesses in the Youghal town area specifically. We've already been out around Middleton, and we've already been out around the villages. We've been doing rolling visits to each of the villages around the area, directly involved with the route, I suppose, over the last few weeks and months. And we're back in Youghal now. Next week we're going to do the businesses first of all, and in a couple of weeks' time we'll do the residents, the locals, the general public. As I say, I can't emphasise enough this one as far as the businesses only. So unless you have a business, you've no business being there. It's to do, I suppose, with a lot of the stuff to do with the logistics of the timings of openings and closings. You're going to have people on the streets, you're all looking for coffee at 3 o'clock in the morning on race day, and it's so that we can give the businesses that type of feedback and give them that kind of knowledge so that they can arm themselves then with what they need and organise themselves for staff and everything else for the day. The weekend of the event, it's a 48 hour working shift is what it is. There's no two ways about it, because from Friday evening until the race is over on Sunday night, and even into Monday morning, it's just go, go, go. And you're going to have all your spectators, all your visitors, and not just the ones that we know about, there's ones we don't know about, and that's going to be one of the interesting things to quantify for year two. How many curious people are going to come that don't have anything directly to do with the event but just want to come and have a look, because it is spectacular, and Ironmen do spectacle very well. Wait till you see the finish line, it's going to be absolutely amazing. Wait till you see the venues when they build them, they're going to knock your socks off. Like, and I think that's a huge message we're trying to get across. We're trying to let the businesses get an insight into that. We'll talk to them about some of the information that we can give them at the moment. We'll tell them some of the stuff that we can't tell them at the moment, if you get what I'm saying, in the line of how many people to expect on the streets. We just don't know. We would say there's a multiplier of about 3. So for every athlete, we would expect 3 spectators on average. That brings us up to somewhere between 8 and 10,000 directly involved with the athletes taking part in the event. But then outside of that, you're going to have local population wanting to come out for a look. You're going to have local clubs and groups wanting to come, nearby clubs and groups. And you're going to have triathlon clubs from all over Ireland and parts of the UK coming in just to see the event, whether they're taking part or not. And that's one of the things we can quantify. A few weeks back, Cork County Council, we'd been kicking around the idea since around Christmas with some of the businesses in town, and Cork County Council bit the bullet there about 6 weeks ago, and they brought over a delegation of 3 council person, and they're not staff now, they're executives from the council in Pembrokeshire who deal directly with Ironman over there. They came over to see the venue here, give us some ideas, give us some feedback from their experience. Happily, they seemed to feel that we were in about year 4 of where they were on their Ironman journey. You know, they got their first Ironman back in, I think it was 2009. They brought it on for initially 5 years. They got it to work. In their very first year, businesses didn't even know the event was coming. It just happened, and it came and it went, and people went, what just happened? So in year 2, their doors were open and they were a bit more ready for the event. We're already way ahead of that. We're in what they felt was about year 4 in their process. So Youghal has really taken the athletes on board and has really got to grips with the event so far, and we're very happy with that. But again, look, more information that we can give. Those guys were happy to tell us things like what type of food their businesses tend to stock for the event, what type of meals they like to prepare and sell for the event. They were able to tell us things like this year, just gone now, was their 8th or 9th running of the event. I can't remember exactly which, but they reckon that from their estimations, they had 33,000 people watching that swim start on the Sunday morning. I don't see that happening here in Youghal in year 1, but who knows? It's something that we just won't know until the day.
Okay, there's a lot of people, John. Just to tie back in just briefly into the business meeting then, it's just a business meeting, but all businesses in the town should be there.
Are welcome to attend, absolutely. Yeah, we'd like if every business sent one representative to come in and by all means ask us questions. The presentation will begin with a quick overview of what we've got so far event-wise. We'll then lead into talking about the road closures, the traffic, the parking arrangements, the shuttle buses, that kind of stuff. We'll give them then the feedback that we got from the people from Pembrokeshire. we'll allow time then for questions and answers at the end, because no doubt there will be lots. And we've always said from the very start, we're about getting information out there. There's no, we're holding back nothing. We're trying to get as much information out there as we can, because if the people are informed, as much as we can get them informed, I think it arms them with the tools to make a good weekend of it for themselves and make the reap the benefits that are there to be reaped.
Okay, and the public are asking, obviously, John, when can they get that information next?
Yeah, and you're going to have athletes. There's quite a lot of athletes locally that are involved in it as well. We've 42 from the local club taking part, and if you roll that out to the likes of Middleton, Cork, Dungarvan, Tri clubs, Blackwater, above and Fermoy, I'd say between them there's probably 200 athletes all taking part together, you know. And they're curious and they want to know information, and whenever we do have these public meetings, a few of them show up hoping to get a glimmer of something to do with the athlete side of the event, but that's not what these meetings are for. We won't be talking about anything to do with the race itself. In that sense, there's separate stuff goes on Facebook there last week. The race director, John Walnut, did an hour's Facebook Live for the athletes to go in and ask their questions and get their answers to the logistics of how they park their cars and get to transition on race day, and where the aid stations will be on the route for them to feed themselves as they're on the bike and run routes, and all that type of information. That's not what this meeting is about. This meeting is aimed at the businesses, for the businesses, and the questions coming back will be business-related questions. So if you're a member of the public and you're wondering where you're parking your car, that's for a different meeting, and we'll be doing that one. We'll have at least two of those between now and race day in the town again. And there's also other media like yourselves, and we're really, really grateful for the opportunity to use CRY and other local media to get the information out there. There will be supplements taken in all the local press with full colour brochures explaining what's happening with the parking and then and that type of thing. And we'll also have we it's in town at the moment. It's not up and running yet, but we have a dedicated Ironman phone for residents, anybody who has a question that they need answered in relation to the event. That number will be published in a few weeks' time with those rollout of there's a leaflet drop gonna happen. There's two leaflet drops in all before the event. As I said, the local press will carry supplements in the next few weeks. We'll be approaching them with supplements that we want them to carry with all the details of the closures, what's involved, the timings, everything to do with the event, and the phone number will be attached to that. So if somebody, even on race day, in the middle of the race, suddenly discovers that they need to move their car, get in or get out of the town for whatever reason, they simply ring that number, and on the other end of that number is a member of Ironman staff who will take the call and pass it then to the right authority, because on race day, well, even on the Saturday, the day before the race, the race control will be in position. All details of what's happening on the venue will be routed through there. All the logistics are routed through there. So if somebody needs to move, we can get guards or we can get ambulance or we can get fire brigade to them or from them or near them or whatever we need to do. So it's a very, very well-run event. I've seen it happening live in other venues. I've seen it, latest one I was at was Tenby, where I worked on the organisation of the event over there. They really run a tight ship and they run it well. And I'm saying that from the outside looking in. You couldn't give them more credit for it, really.
Okay, you mentioned about cars and parking for residents and athletes, John. What's the latest? You told us at the last time you popped in that there was going to be parking around the town. Can you give us more information on it?
What we've done so far is we've identified car parking up around Pubble Skull. So Pubble Skull are providing us with space for car parking. The Rugby Club are very kindly providing space for car parking. And there are other fields up there that we've identified as well. Weather permitting, they'll probably be used as well, I'd imagine. They're mainly aimed at people visiting into the town to come down and see the event when the event is up and running. For the athletes themselves taking part, we have a field secured out in Ballyvergan. So athletes coming from the Cork side, which is where the bulk of the athletes are actually staying, they'll be able to drive straight into Ballyvergan, park their car in the designated field, walk to transition, take part in the race, and when they come back in the evening, we will have a shuttle bus that will take them from the finish line at Green Park back out to their transition, out to their bikes and their equipment out in Clay Castle. They'll gather those, they'll walk back over to their car, get in their car and drive away. That's basically how that's going to work. We're going to put almost all the athletes into that field. Other athletes will be arriving on shuttle buses from their hotels. Some of the hotels up around the city and down around Waterford are putting on shuttles for the athletes that are staying with them. So they'll be bussed and shuttled directly to Summerfield Cross and away again in the evening time. For spectators, as I say, they'll be diverted into fields up on top of the, we call it up on top of the hill, up around the school area. And for residents then who need to have their cars moved off of the main streets, because we need the main streets cleared for the event, we would be asking them that on Saturday evening, by 9 o'clock, their cars have been moved off the street. We're already very kindly been given car parking spaces by Tesco's outside. Anybody from town who needs to move their car off the street, that's where they're being asked to put their car on Saturday night by 9 o'clock, and they will then be able to bring their cars back in once the race is finished. And the last runner across the line is about 5 to midnight on Sunday night, so after that we no longer require the streets, they're back into public use and they can go get their cars, bring them back in any time after that. If somebody needs to get in and out to go to work, because we've had a bit of, we're getting a little bit of feedback through email and everything else on that one, and it's a very valid one, and it's one we have absolutely put a lot of thought into. We also have further car parking identified further outside the town, that's outside of the route, so won't be affected by the closures. We'll have more details coming on that in the public meetings that we'll do in a few weeks' time. But essentially, if you are needing to get away on a Sunday morning while the roads are closed, you'll be asked to put your car into one of these car parks the day before, and there will be local shuttle buses running around the town during the event. You'll be able to jump on one of those, get yourself out to your car and get away. If you're coming in, returning back from work, same thing. You'll come in, you'll park your car in one of those car parks, and the shuttle will bring you back in, or you can walk back in or whatever. It's to, again, to make sure that we try not to discommode too many people too much for the event, but we do need closed roads. It's for athlete safety. 2,500 athletes on bikes, 2,500 athletes running around the street. You can't afford to have a car pulling out in front of one of them. It's not going to happen.
Okay, that's fair enough. You mentioned about the 2,500 on the bike. There's obviously going to have to be road closures then out on that route, John. Give us some details. What kind of time range are we looking at?
I suppose if I talk about the route in general, just to give people an overview in case they haven't been up to speed on it, the whole hub of the event is Clay Castle. Okay, that's the main. When the bell goes on Sunday morning, it's all happening around Clay Castle for the day as far as we're concerned. The swim begins right in front of the beach there in Clay Castle. They will run into the water, they'll swim away, and they'll do two loops of what's effectively a triangular course. In its rolling start, so what you'll effectively see is a snake of 2,000 athletes in wetsuits on the beach become a snake of 2,000 athletes in the water. Halfway through, they'll come out onto the beach, run about 100 metres, and then go back in and do a second lap. Once they've completed the second lap, then they go to the car park in Clare Castle, where they will go into a tent, they'll change into their cycling gear, they'll then come out of the tent, run up through the car park, collect their bike, mount the bike outside of the transition area, and then cycle off out onto the bike route. The bike route takes them out towards the Bog Road, down into Ballymacoda. They go out through Ballymacoda and up over Ballyfroad out onto the coast. They will come up off the coast road briefly up as far as almost Kilcredden School before they go back down towards the coast, and then they're heading for Garryvaugh. At Garryvaugh we'll have an aid station where they can get, there's the Ironman sponsored energy supplier is Enervit, so they'll have water, they will have Enervit, they'll have these gels that athletes use. For those who aren't familiar with them, they're high sugar, high energy gels that they just bite the top off and squeeze into their mouth and swallow them. They give you an instant hit of sugar to keep you energised and keep you going. There's also bars and there's bananas and there's other stuff like that going to be given out on the aid station. From there then they continue on. It's up to them whether or not they want to take that. A lot of the athletes won't take it, they'll have their own nutrition with them on the bike on the day. They'll go on towards Cloyne, over onto Whitewell Cross. For those who don't know where that is, that's where the Middleton Whitegate Road meets the Cloyne Road. They'll turn right then and come up into East Ferry. They'll do a little bit of a hill climb in East Ferry before going back onto the Middleton Road into Ballinacurra, where they'll drop underneath the N25 and come up onto the main street in Middleton there beyond Chadwicks. They'll turn left down the main street in Middleton, where there's going to be a big food family festival going on up there. The Chamber of Commerce have got in behind a massive event up there for the day to keep kids and what have you busy and occupied while the event is happening over there. We'd encourage people to go over there and have a look at it over there, because that's where you get a chance to see your athletes on their bikes. They'll from there then go up to Dungourney, which is, in their eyes, it's a long, slow drag. It's not that bad. The road is absolutely excellent up there, to be fair. It is a bit of a drag for athletes on bikes. That's the way they would look at it. But it's a nice scenic route as well, because they're now going from the coast up into the mountains, where they're into the forestry and they're into that type of scenery, you know, and the valleys and things. And it's actually beautiful up there at the moment. From there, they go up to Morley's Cross, which is up above Leahy's Farm. Leahy's Farm will be another aid station where they'll collect food and water. From there, then they double back down on their face and back in towards Youghal. So they'll come to Mount Uniacke. turn left as you come into Mount Uniac, then over to Inch, drop down onto the valley floor in Inch and turn right, come down along the little river valley there that comes all the way down, I think it's the top of the Tourig. That brings them back down to Park, where they'll take what's known locally as Murphy's Hill. It's a dirty, dirty climb of a hill, and it's going to wear them down. That will let them back up onto what we would call the Quarry Road, where they come back in towards Youghal. They'll arrive into Youghal at the little roundabout. They'll take a right. They'll actually shortcut the roundabout. That's the way it's going to be set up on the day. Down through Tallow Street, down past, I suppose, Church Street, down past the Nook. They will come down past Super Value, where they'll take a right and go up De Valera Street. Top of De Valera Street, they go left over onto Windmill Hill. And everybody at this stage has heard about cyclists on Windmill Hill, and that's where they're going. They're going up Windmill Hill. Down the Golf Links Road, so they'll come out, we'll say, tides there onto the Strand, back out towards Summerfield Cross, where they'll begin lap two and do exactly the same thing all over again. They then come back into Clare Castle once they've completed the second lap, 180 kilometres. Change into running gear, and then they'll run along the boardwalk in towards town. They'll stay on the promenade right into, I suppose, Strand Palace, where they'll come onto the road. They'll run on the road then down the Strand Street. They'll come in past, effectively, the finish line area, which is at Green Park. They'll come down Strand Street. They will stay on that road all the way out past past the Keys, past Aldi, off out. They'll go out Breton Road. They'll do a turnaround somewhere out in Foxhall, where we will have a booth set up where they'll collect a wristband. They'll get a different coloured wristband each lap. And once they've collected all four wristbands, then they're heading for their finish line. The lap takes them back into town. They'll come up by Watson's Corner, down the main street, down underneath the Clock Gate, heading south all the time, down towards Walter Alley, back out over the Lighthouse Hill. They'll drop down onto Front Strand. They'll go past the pitch and put Nora and back into Clare Castle. So that's the lap. And it's 4.2 of those gets them the 42.2 kilometres of a marathon.
It's a long old trek indeed.
There's a long old trek. It's a long day. You know, the pros who will do this, they'll be the first off in the water in the morning. And we expect the first pro to be finished somewhere between 3:15 and 3:30 in the afternoon. The last athlete allowed to finish will be at 5 minutes to midnight. They'll have completed 17 hours at that stage, and that's the ultimate cut-off. But there are intermediate cut-offs as well, so that we can give streets back to villages earlier in the day as the bikes pass through. On the swim, for example, there's a cut-off at 2:20. If anybody comes out of the water not having achieved that, they're stopped there and then, and they're not allowed to proceed. Out on the bike route, then there will be intermediate cut-offs. So there'll be a cut-off at the end of lap one at Summerfield Cross. There'll be a cut-off probably before they go into Middleton, and there'll be a cut-off above at Leahy's Farm to stop them continuing on if they're not going to make the final cut-off. On the run, there's just one, well, there's two, I suppose. There's the, you have to be out on the run by a certain time, and then on the last lap of the run, you have to be out in that by 10:30. So anybody not making that will be stopped in Clare Castle and told thanks very much. Come back next year.
What about the road closures then, John? There's obviously, you mentioned about rolling road closures.
I suppose starting at the start with the closures, I mentioned earlier on that we want to have the street all cleared by 9 o'clock on the Saturday night. That doesn't mean it's closed to traffic. It just means that we won't be letting anything in that doesn't need to get in. Residents will be asked to move their cars out, so we have the streets cleared. And the reason for that is the County Council want to do a deep clean of the streets. They want to send in their sweeping machines and do a proper job on the whole town from one end to the other before the event gets going. During the night then, on Saturday night, our Ironman teams will be out on the route putting out the barriers and laying out the different areas and marking out the routes for the athletes who will race the following morning. And then on race day, you're going to have buses and cars coming into the town to park in the car parks. You're going to have shuttle buses circulating all day. You all would be sterile from traffic at that stage, so there's no cars allowed into the town or out of the town, no traffic at all, other than race traffic. Out on the road then, on the bike, that's where the most of the road closures come into play, and that's where people are going to be the most affected by them. The first road closure comes into effect about 20 minutes before the first athlete comes onto that stretch of road. So the road for the bike road is broken into 8 different sectors. The marshals will be in place an hour before the race begins at all, and they'll have their signage and their cones and their barriers ready to go. And from race control then they'll be directed, so that as the bikes come out of, we expect the first bike out in the route at 7:20. So you can expect to see Ballymacoda almost as far as Gary Vaux closing then at 7:30 effectively, you know. Once the last bike passes through then, on the second lap, we expect the last bike leaving Youghal somewhere around 1:30, 2 o'clock. As soon as they pass through an area, that area reopens. The road goes back to as if it was never closed in the first place, and you won't know that there was ever a race there an hour after the race has gone through. Ironman will have a team that runs behind the race and gathers all the paraphernalia, the barriers, the signs, the cones, everything else, and lifts them the road's return to normal public usage immediately after the last bike goes through. And that's why we have some of the cut-offs, so that we can make sure that roads are given back by the times we've promised. We've been out, as I say, in the towns and villages around. We have delivered a presentation to each of them that specifically highlights their local road closures and cut-offs. Absolutely bought in everywhere. We're delighted to say all the villages have 100% got behind the event. They fully understand what we're talking about, and they accept that it is a huge event and that it is big for the region. It's worth something in the region of 10 million. It won't be worth less than that. If we get bigger spectators, it will be worth more than that to the region for the 4 days of the event. So spectators and guests arriving on the Thursday when the registration area opens here in Green Park. Town will need to become nearly pedestrianised at that stage, because there just won't be space for traffic. It's going to get very, very busy, and it's going to be heaving, for want of a better word, from Thursday right through to Monday. It's a big message we're trying to get out there, because we really don't know how big this is going to look when it happens. We just know it's going to be huge.
Okay, and obviously we'll be touching more on that over the coming weeks. There's two more pieces we need to touch on, John, because I know time's catching up with us. Firstly, the business supporter scheme.
Yeah, that's been going really, really well. It's a scheme whereby any business can get involved with the event without it costing them a lot of money. Without it costing them any money, if that's what they want, you know. It's where they'll get a door sticker that you'll see in a lot of the shops and businesses already. They'll also get a flag, which will fly over their business or wherever they want to fly it in support of the event. It says to the athletes who are already here training every weekend, we are involved with the Ironman, and we want you to come in and talk and say hello and ask us questions, and we're delighted to have you and you're welcome to you all. That's what that says. If it's a coffee shop, generally they tend to give something like buy two, get one free kind of coffee offers, that kind of thing. It can be anything that your business wants to give or can give. If you already have a special offer that you do for your customers, or if there's a discount you do, maybe you'd extend that to the Ironman athletes in the area, and you're putting up that sticker. You can pick it, you can say what you want it to be. We link it up again in our media, our social media channels, and just to refresh it so people can see it at the top of the feeds and what have you. But if you click the link and go in there, it's just a simple Google questionnaire. You fill in your few questions: what's the name of the business, where are you, contact details, and what your offer is. And we've been building a Google map with all of the proud supporter businesses on there. You get your pin drop with your name beside it, and you get a little drop down box that says what your special offer is. You can do one now and change it closer to the event, and we'll update that to reflect it. So when athletes come to train, they might just want a coffee, or they might just want a sandwich when they're stopping for their lunch or whatever. But on race week, they're going to be looking for evening meals. And, a lot of venues I've seen, local restaurants would come in with something like an Ironman special, or there might be a family deal whereby if a family of four comes in and one of them is an athlete competing, the athlete competing might eat free, might eat half price dinner or whatever. Is something nice just to acknowledge the athletes and acknowledge the fact that the businesses are absolutely booming on this, and it's going to be the case. I think this coming weekend now, you're going to see from here on, you're going to see an awful lot of athletes every weekend in town. We're in the Easter holidays at the moment, and already businesses have commented how over the last few weekends they've noticed the upturn in cyclists on the route. I was up in Windmill Hill last Saturday week, and it was just one club after the other coming up that hill. The busiest time is usually from about 10:30 to about midday, and they've gone through then and they've gone off out to run a couple of laps of their own route, if that's what they're going to do. And very soon as well, you're going to see an awful lot of them in the water starting to try out their swims. Our club are hoping to head into the water in the next few days. I've got athletes who I'm coaching, and they'll be going into the water this weekend. So you're going to see lunatics in Lycra in the sea very, very shortly.
Okay, and we wish them the best in their training going over towards June 23rd. Finally, John, before we wrap up, the Facebook Watch and the Ironman group.
Yeah, I suppose two Facebook calls for you to make. The first one is IM Cork Local Info. It's separate words. So IM stands for Ironman. Cork is a word on its own. Local and info. If you can find that Facebook group and get yourself into it, if you're a local resident or a business or anybody that wants to be at the back end of information, the organisation end of it, so you know where these road closures are going to be and all that type of information, get yourselves into that group. That's for locals who are behind the scenes of the event. We have an Ironman visitor one. It's a separate one. That's for the athletes and for their spectators who are coming to visit. We're going to give give them all the links out to what the Spout Supporter Scheme produces, and we're going to let them know all about what's happening around the event, like the food and craft fairs that are going to be built around the town to build in with it. And just, it's kind of spectator facing, it's visitor facing is what it is, so locals don't really need to be in there. The other one then, I suppose, it's a bit of good news for the event. It puts the event on a new level. The event sold out in November, which is a first for a new Ironman event. The number of Americans we have coming is almost 600 for a first year event. That's a huge, huge achievement. But we've also been now chosen as the Facebook Watch venue, one of two that they're choosing in Europe this year. Cut a long story short, Ironman have a contract now with Facebook each year to carry so many events, two of them in Europe, for the next 3 years. And this year Ironman Cork has been chosen as one of those two. Tenby will be the other one, our sister event over in Wales. What it means is that 8 hours of the event will be carried live on Facebook. It'll be streamed live on Facebook with professional television presenters and former triathlete professionals producing and presenting the whole event. They'll essentially be following the pros on the field, but because it's 8 hours, those pros are going to be lapping some of the age groupers repeatedly, even during the event. So everybody will get their face on Facebook that day. It's a huge opportunity to show East Cork in the light that it needs to be shown and get it out there in the world. On average, when they were testing the system last year, a Facebook Watch program was getting over 5.5 million interactions globally. So you're looking at pushing effectively. It's marketing that money couldn't buy is what it is. We're going to have East Cork out there on the world map for the day. You all will be the centre of the world that day, and through Facebook Watch especially. Everything that we've got to offer will be seen globally. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it really is one to look forward to. To wrap up, John, the big news, I suppose, business meeting only next Wednesday evening.
Next Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock in the Town Hall. It's walk-in for anybody who's got a business. Please send at least one representative. Don't say you weren't told. Don't come back to us and say I didn't know. It's what this meeting is for. It's to try and give every business the equal opportunity to find out the full details of the event and what's going on, and an opportunity to ask any questions that they have.
John, appreciate your time once again. I'm sure we'll catch up again within the next couple of weeks. And thanks a million for joining us this evening.
Thanks very much, Pat.